This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 2015, nearly half of patent cases filed in the country ran through the U.S. District Court of East Texas, and more than a quarter ended up in front of one small-town judge. It's not that Texas is a hotbed of innovation, but that the mostly rural district made some tweaks to its rules to speed up the process of settling patent cases. Those adjustments were made back in the early days of the tech revolution. Since then, patent holders and the trolls who leverage them in infringement cases have flocked to the district, known to be friendly to their cause. Kaylee Rogers is staff writer for Motherboard, and she wrote the article, "The Small Town Judge Who Sees a Quarter of the Nation's Patent Cases." Kaylee, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you wrote about the town of Marshall, Texas, in this district, East District, where Judge Rodney Gilstrap provides over more than a quarter of the nation's patent cases. Who is he?
So he is a judge. He's not originally from Marshall, which everyone in the sort of small town will make sure they let you know right away, but he's been living and working in the area for a long time. He was originally a lawyer, became a judge, and he sort of inherited this system that made it really appealing for patent trolls, and he's kind of gone along with it and embraced it as a way to see a lot of these IP cases.
Yeah, so this is just one judge in one town, but the whole Eastern District of Texas has been attracting these patent cases. Now, when did that start and why?
So that really started back in the 90s. So Texas Instruments, who you should be familiar with, so they decided to start leveraging some of the patents that they held on different technology. Things were not as profitable, and so they started filing patent lawsuits just to make sure that they were making the most of the patents that they did hold. Since they're based in Dallas, that's where they filed their original cases. But the thing with patent cases is they can be kind of bumped down the docket. They're not really priority compared to criminal cases. And so Texas Instruments wasn't getting their cases heard very quickly. So they kind of went looking around in the area, you know, where somewhere else that's maybe a little sleepier docket that we can start filing these patent cases and get them heard more quickly. And that's sort of how they found Marshall.
So they can choose where they want their patent case to be heard?
So this is an interesting sort of weird loophole with IP litigation where the patent holder gets to choose where they file their case, and it can be pretty much anywhere that you could argue the patent is being used. And so when you're looking at stuff that's tech or internet related, that can be really anywhere in the country. If you have a patent that has to do with selling things online, as long as the company you're suing sells things in the state or the district where you're suing them, so if people have access to the internet there, then you can make the case that you can sue them there.
Texas Instruments was looking for a more efficient place to have these patent cases go through. And you found that one judge in particular sort of changed the rules in order to make it more attractive to patent litigation. How did that happen?
Right. So Judge T. John Ward, who was there in the 90s, was seeing all these patent cases. And he had worked actually before he became a judge. So he'd worked as a local counsel on one of Texas Instruments' patent cases. And he was chatting with, you know, his fellow colleagues that were in from California, and they were kind of complaining, you know, like, we have rules in California that makes patent litigation go a little quicker. I really, really should they had that here. So by the time he became judge and started seeing more and more of TI's cases, he thought, well, I'll look at what they're doing in California and I'll see if I can just adopt some of those rules here, which is what he did.
So this is the initiation of the so-called rocket docket. What is the rocket docket specifically?
So the rocket docket was the result of these sort of efficient rules. They just set up certain timetables and limits the number of document pages, just ways to sort of make things more efficient. And at that time, it meant that the patent cases in Marshall were being settled in 2 years or less, which gave it the name the rocket docket. That's a very quick turnaround time for these kind of cases.
So 2 years from file to trial, I guess, is what they were saying down there.
Absolutely. And that was very appealing to patent holders, and in particular, these sort of patent trolls, which we've been learning more and more about over the last few years.
Yeah, let's dig into that, if you don't mind. What is the distinction between a patent troll and a patent holder?
So a patent holder traditionally is someone who has the original idea for a product or an innovation. They hold a patent on it, and then that way, if someone tries to, you know, steal their idea, they can sue for the rights to it. The difference with patent trolls, they're technically called non-practicing entities, or NPEs. Basically, they're organizations or companies that just buy up a bunch of unused patents and this is strictly so that they can sue for them and make a lot of money. They're not actually making any products or providing any kind of service. They're just suing to make money off of these patents.
Yeah, and there's a lot of complaint that in just leveraging patents in order to make money by suing people for infringement, they are actually slowing down innovation. Do you get a sense from what's going on there in East Texas if that's true?
Definitely. So the so-called rocket docket actually became much more slower as more and more patent troll cases were brought to the area. It's just kind of hard to juggle all of this work that's being done. And so it slows things down. And at the same time, the argument that's made is that it costs money. It's estimated that these suits cost somewhere around $29 billion a year. That number was kind of from 2011, so it's probably more than that by now. And, you know, it just kind of goes against both the whole reason why we have the legal system set up as well as the patent system set up. You know, it's to protect ideas and encourage people to innovate and create new things and not have to worry about someone stealing that idea. It's really not so that shell companies can, you know, get a bunch of money out of big tech companies just by being clever and using these loopholes.
So the patent trolls and patent holders, we must, you know, note that there are many legitimate cases here. Mm-hmm. They're flocking to this East District in Texas. Why? Do they tend to see a favorable return on their cases there?
So there's a number of things that have been put in place to kind of make the Eastern District more appealing to patent holders. In the end, it just kind of amounts to it being more friendly to them. They're more likely to win. One thing is that they more often go to trial there. Trials statistically favor the patent holder more than the defendant. And also, trials are very expensive and they're lengthy. And if you're a big tech company that's trying to get this patent troll out of your hair and they say, you know, we'll go away if you give us $100,000, sometimes that's the price you're willing to pay rather than have to go through all the cost and time of an actual trial.
Yeah, there must be a lot of benefit for a town or a district that hears a lot of these big cases.
Definitely there is. You know, that's one sort of strange side effect of having all these cases come in. You know, a lot of them are coming from Silicon Valley or they're coming from New York. You have lawyers coming to town that want to stay there and they're going to be eating at the local restaurants. And then you have big tech companies that both are defendants and plaintiffs in a lot of these cases that, you know, curiously enough, are sponsoring the local skating rink or they're giving scholarships to the high school students in town. So there's definitely some relation there between some benefits for this kind of system.
Well, Kaylee, thanks for giving us a little glimpse of this corner of patent law.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Kaylee Rogers, she's a staff writer for Motherboard, and that's where we found her article, The Small Town Judge Who Sees a Quarter of the Nation's Patent Cases. You'll find a link to read the article at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.